Lucado said, "We all worship something. The time we spend worshiping the wrong thing is time we never get back to worship the right thing." I found this probably the most convicting statement of everything that he said. Think about that for just a moment. Let me say that again. We all worship something. The time we spend worshiping the wrong thing is time we never get back to worship the right thing. What are some things that we worship wrongly? Work. Reputation. Education. Money. Homes. Video games. Now think about all the stuff, that one statement, as I was reviewing this, just caused me to stop and really contemplate in my own life, okay, what are things that I worship? And I would never tell the congregation this, okay? So this is, you're not the congregation, you're just the Sunday school class, okay? All right, let's step it down here so this is not quite. The truth is, there are things that I worship that are not Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking of the time that I spend engaging in those activities that sometimes can seem harmless. You ever do this? You ever look up stuff on the internet you're not going to buy? I am king of that. I have about 4 cars at any time that I'm ready to buy were one of ours to go down. Why do I do that? Because I worship the wrong thing. I have ideas for new bikes that I'm going to get. Yeah, I'm 47, and I'm just like 8-year-old Max. I'd love a new bike for Christmas. And yet, here's the deal. The time and the money that I pour into that research, and that I, if I had the money, could spend, is an embarrassing amount of time and an embarrassing amount of money. We all worship something. And when we worship something in a wrong way, now, is it okay to have a bike? Is it okay to have a car? Is it okay to have a house, a family, a job? Is it okay to have those things? Can they be tools to glorify God? They can be. But if they distract me from my walk with Jesus Christ, if I'm coveting more time with my bike than I am time with my Savior, I've got something that's wrong in my life. Because to worship in its most basic definition is to ascribe worth. So when I say that I'm going to spend my time and my money in a certain way that is not with Jesus Christ and congruent with my Christian faith, then I'm ascribing worth to something that was not meant to have worth ascribed to it. Now, I'm sure that I'm the only person that does that, because I know that you guys are all, you're following Jesus. You're practicing what I preach, and I'm not. But isn't it so easy to just let that video game kind of, just one more game. It's so easy to just let it influence you. Christmas and gift giving have always been associated with each other. The angels gave Jesus a gift. They gave Jesus worship. what happened? Think about the scene, and it's described in the Gospel of Luke. If you want to turn there, Luke 2, the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of the Savior. And what happens then is the angels have this mighty chorus. This incredible chorus of praise and worship to Jesus. And it says that the shepherds go, they check this out. It's exactly as the angels say. And what does it say that the shepherds did as they were returning? They spread the word. What else? They returned glorifying God and worshiping Him. Response. Shepherds, commoners, these guys aren't educated. They're not the political elite. They're not the people in the temple that are the hoity-toities. They're not the guys wearing the long flowing robes. No, they're unclean. And they get it. And they respond properly. Have you lost in the Advent season the ability to worship? What distracts you from that? What takes away from your time and ability to worship during Christmas? Parties and get-togethers. Mm-hmm. Shopping. Buy, buy, buy. It's on sale today and today only. You better go and get it. Get two of them. What else? Family problems. You're so right, because sometimes Christmas can be this unfortunate reminder that life is not perfect in your family. And I think that's a great way that Satan comes in, and instead of our focus being on the hope of the birth of our Savior, it's on the destruction of the family. Yeah. What else might distract you from worshiping this Christmas? Busyness. Whew. What a great tool of the enemy. I have this many parties to go to. We have a band concert. We have this get-together with the church. We have this get-together with our kids. And oh, we've got to go together with this side of the family. And then we got to get together with this side of the family. And. Oh, wait, when are we going to church? I'm with you there, brother. And yet, this beautiful invitation, this simple invitation to pause and to worship, that was the response of angelic heavenly beings and the most common people on earth. Worship. Lucado says, God is on the lookout for those who choose to worship Him. What's the difference between choosing to worship Him and attending a Sunday morning service? Is there a difference? What do you think? Just because you come at 10 o'clock here on Sunday mornings, are you worshiping? Just because you're not here at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, does that mean you're not worshiping? Well, this gets a little bit difficult, right? Because what does it get to? What does worship really get to? The heart. The heart. Did you prepare for worship this morning? Don't answer that question because it's convicting, and I realize that there are some days that I walk in here and, man, I'm ready for it. There are other days that I'm just distracted and there's 101 things that, oh, and I didn't get that thing copied, and how come I didn't get that media thing to the people upstairs, and there's all the details of Sunday morning. And then there's the family. Did you get the kids up? Oh, the kids are grumpy. Well, are the kids ready on time? Are the kids not ready on time? Are we going to be, come on, let's get going at the time. Did you get breakfast? Did you brush your teeth? And guess what? We get distracted. Anytime we trust an object or an activity to give us life, meaning, Lucado says, we worship it. When we make good things our ultimate things, we set ourselves up for disappointment. To worship substitutes for God is to be satisfied, then brokenhearted, infatuated, then discouraged, enthralled, then angry. Worship does to the soul what spring rain does to a thirsty field. It soaks down, it seeps in, and it stirs life. We've talked about some of those worship substitutes. An honest question. Those worship substitutes that Lucado's getting to, do they satisfy? Temporarily, that's the most honest answer. When Max was sharing about that bike that he was coveting as an 8-year-old, did something come to mind that as a kid you really wanted? Anybody have something that they just pined away for as a kid? George, what did you pine away for? A bike. Uh-huh. And I got it. And you got it. And you tore it up. Uh-huh. Yep. That's so every word he's saying, you're going, yep, been there, done that. Mm-hmm. What else did you like just pine away for Christmas? The Red Rider BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out, Curtis. And did you get it? Yeah? And did it satisfy? Uh-huh. What else? Yes. We'll boil that down to a gaming system. Did you get it? Not yet. Got a little application on hope here that we'll get to in a moment. You might want to listen to. Yeah, I can think of various Christmases and various things that I was hoping for and thinking this will be the best thing ever. And think of like the exacting words that Max said, you know, if I will be the most appreciative and satisfied boy in town if I can get this bike. We tell that to ourselves, don't we? And as adults, we just substitute toys and things like that for bigger things. If I can just get that car, I'll be the most satisfied. You know what? Man, I'll be free to love God better. There'll be nothing in front of me. If I can just get that house, if I can just get that, it's just more expensive stuff as adults, right? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I sometimes worship myself. Yep. And sometimes the very best and most gracious thing God can do is say no. And we feel so disappointed sometimes when God says no, right? Like, God, you didn't pull through. And we treat God like Santa Claus, and we treat Santa Claus like God. There's something very wrong with that picture. And we put our hope more in what we're going to get from Santa, and then we set God up to be the big failure. That's not the way it's supposed to be. See, God is God. He's the creator and sustainer of this universe. And he gave us the best gift ever in his son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knew exactly what we needed. He knew exactly what we needed long before we got that figured out. He knew we needed a savior. He knew we needed a redeemer. And if God was truly who he says he is, and that's the God who's the creator and sustainer of this universe, who is calling a people to himself, he knew that he needed a way to get those people to himself. Sovereign God that he is, he said, my son will do that. Think what the gift that is. Are you a child of God? Oh, come on, church. Are you a child of God? Amen. And here's the deal. Remember how he was talking about the response in worship? Don't be afraid to throw out an amen. Don't be afraid to be loud with your response vocally in worship. The reason why? The scriptures are replete with that. Not just the angels. Look back all throughout Psalms. Look back throughout Exodus and Leviticus and the way that they would worship. It was loud and expressive. And the psalmist says, shout loudly to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It opens up to heaven.
It does. We call the glory of God down from heaven when we do that.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you this Christmas season, get a little more expressive. Get a little more loud. Get a little more courageous. And if somebody looks at you funny, it doesn't matter, because your worship isn't directed to the person next to you in this sanctuary. Your worship is directed upwards. Amen. Amen. Now, there's also something powerful about the gathering of the assembly. Have you ever been in a spot where you have just had to almost stop singing because it's so powerful? I remember going to Promise Keepers with my brother, and this was back in the old Mile High Stadium. I'm dating myself, I realize. And we're there with over 50,000 men. We just sung a bunch of real modern praise courses. A lot of them were new songs. Many of them were not known to the people that were there, but they were trying to hang in there. And then all of a sudden the worship team starts in on how great thou art. Everybody knew it. 50,000 men singing at the top of their voices. They didn't play a single instrument for the first time. Verse through, because 50,000 men were singing at the top of their lungs, and you didn't need any accompaniment with that. It was powerful and amazing. When we gather together, we do what we cannot do on our own. It's something amazing and powerful. And yes, I get it. You can worship at home on your couch on Sunday mornings, but you're missing out on the gathering of the assembly. The angels gathered together to worship Jesus. That there wasn't just one of them. There wasn't a bunch of angels that said, you know, we can do this in heaven. They came to Jesus. They worshiped him corporately. We get to worship together. And in a few minutes, we're going to start that process. Maybe, as I was saying earlier, you didn't get a chance to prepare your heart. Guess what? I'm going to end with a prayer. You're going to have 15 minutes. Prepare now. Because we're going to meet our Savior in worship. We're going to ascribe to him the worth that he is due. We're going to give a gift to him. Are you ready? Let's pray. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus, you are worthy of our worship. Not the gifts that we desire at Christmas, not the stuff that so easily distracts, but you and you alone are worthy of our worship May we take from the pages of Scripture the examples of those that came to worship you in reverence and in awe and splendor, giving gifts, singing loudly. May we come to you this morning. Oh, prepare our hearts for such a process. And as we go through this Advent season, would you remove the distractions that can so easily entangle us, can so easily pull us down? That as we continue to revisit the birth of our Savior, it would evoke the strongest response of all, worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let's get ready.